We begin the current daf instead of this getting daf lamed zayin. We begin on the bottom of daf lamed vav amabez, two lines up in the bottom of the amud. The Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf and regarding the last item mentioned in our previous Mishnah on daf lamed dal amud beis. We were talking about tikkun ha'olam, different things that were instituted by our sages, by Chazal, to rectify the situation going on in the world. One of them was the concept known as prosbul, which is that there's a mitzvah for people to lend other people money. But since the Shemitah, the seventh year, people were refraining from lending because they know once the seventh year comes around, all the debts are canceled. So Hillel HaZaken instituted a way around that, which is, and that's because, as the Gemara explained, of course, according to one interpretation, that it's Shemitah Bisman Azeh, Zolm Drabbanan, or it's a Sheval Tasa. So what Hill did was that he instituted a mechanics that works just like if someone were to give over his shtaris, his documents of debt, to the courts, then he's not violating lo yigos of collecting after Shemitah because he's not collecting it. Rather, the courts are, based on the halachic principle of hefker, bas, and hefker. So that's what the essence of principle is, so that now people will lend now, and then borrowers will have where to borrow from. And that was the tikkun ha'olam of prosbul. Now the Gemara just discusses my prosbul. What is the word? What's the etymology of this word that connotes this rabbinic injunction known as prosbul? So Amrav Chizdi says, prois means from the word of takana. It was a tikkun of bule ubute. So it's prosbul, which is the tikkun. It's what rectifies, what helps the situation of the bule and buti, which are a reference to the wealthy people and the poor people. Now, what helps for the wealthy people is that they shouldn't lose the money that they're lending, and it helps the poor people that what's called shalo yidna lelos mafnei halov, and that the door should not be closed in front of borrowers because they're not going to have who to borrow from. They want that the loan should not be canceled, because if it is, then no one's going to lend the money anymore. So that's where pruz bul, which is from pruz buli buti, it's a reference to the bull and the but. So who is that? As the Gemara continues at the top of Lama Zayin Rav, Buli Eli Ashirim. So Pruz is the tikkun of Buli of the wealthy people. Like it says the pasuk in Meyikra, it says Vishibarti as Ge'ain Uzchem, I will break the pride of your might. Now, but Tanner of Yosef, he says, who is this a reference to? Who is the pride of the might that Hashem is going to break them? Elu Bulai Shabi Yehuda. These are the wealthy in Judea who obviously were with Gaiva and inappropriate, but we see that the term of bulois, which is a reference to the wealthy people there, is we see that that's the term buli. Now, it's also prud, bul, and buti, which buti elu anim, that's the poor people. So like it says, the pasuk in Devarim, it says, havi tavi tena. The pasuk says you should lend him money. Now, who are the borrowers? Those are the poor people. And that's the term of buti, where you see from that word of havet, which is the base, and the test is the shayrish. So that's, again, where the word prusbul comes from, prus, the takana of bull, of the wealthy, and of who else is included in that is the buti, are the poor people. Now, Amalei Rabba Lelu'aza, similarly, Rabba once said to someone that didn't speak Hebrew, he spoke some foreign language. Now, that person that Rabba was speaking to in conversation said the word prusbul. So Rabba asked him, my prusbul, what does that word mean? So Amalei, so that guy said that in his language it means pursa, which again we said means the takana, it's the rectification, the milsa of what's being discussed, of the essence of the thing. That's, again, the concept that we're talking about. That's what a prusbul is. It's the tikkun of the halacha of lending money, which now lets the wealthy keep their money and the borrowers to have a place where to borrow from. Other halachas regarding to prusbul, the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, says, Yisaymin ain't srichin prusbul. Although we said that there was the necessity of the institution of prosbul, orphans don't need prosbul, and that is because the seventh year, the Shemitah year, will not cancel the loans owed to their father. And v'chein tani Rambam b'chama sotu Rambam b'chama torin the praisa, yisaimim ein tzrichin prosbul. Orphans do not require prosbul. What's the reason? The Rabban Gamliel ubeis dinoi, because Rabban Gamliel and his court, in other words, the nasi of the Jewish people in every single generation, Avin shall yisaimin. They are the fathers of the orphans, and it's incumbent upon the courts to collect their money. Now, therefore, that's essentially what is considered, which is where really the mechanics of prosbul works with, which is another halacha, as we'll see. If you're meisiv shtereis of labezin, if you give over your documents to the courts, then you could collect because you're not collecting; the courts are collecting, and they can take from whoever they want because of hefker bezin hefker. Now, the only reason why I said Rabban Gamliel beis dinoi was because at the time when this brisa was authored, So that was the Nasi in that time was Rabbi Gamliel. So that's why, but it's really not a reference just to him. It means the Nasi in the generation, they, the Bezdin, the courts, they're in charge of the money of the orphans, and therefore you don't really need Prisbal, because Prisbal is to get you to there, and orphans automatically have that the courts are taking care of their affairs. Another halacha, Tznan Hasim, we learned about it in the Mishnah Masech the Shvias, which obviously is talking about the seventh year, the Shemitah year, where a lot of the halachas we're going to be discussing comes from that Masech. So the Mishnah says, Ein Kaisman Prisbal, Ela Ala Karka. The Prisbal could only be written if the borrower has his own land. Now, the reason for this is because the Tikkun in general, Takanas Chachamim, are only instituted in situations which are common, which are the norm. As it's very well known in the inverse, which is that a Takanas Chachamim is not in a Milsadle Shchicha. Something that's not common was never included in the regular Takanas Chachamim. Now, so therefore, generally, a debt, when someone's lending someone money, is only going to be, he'll write a document, and the document generally will only be that if a guy has land, because movable property, you can't really rely on. The guy could hide it, could smuggle it out, whatever it is, so you're not going to really lend someone. And if you're writing a document, generally it's based on the person having land. If he doesn't have land, then again, that's what's called a mislei shchicha. It's not a common type of a loan. And as it's mentioned many times in Shas, they didn't make their takanas. So therefore, here when they're making the takana of principle, it was only made in the normative way, which is if the borrower has land. Now, just Rashi points out that even if the land is not worth the entire loan, let's say he lent him $1,000 and a piece of land, he has a $50 piece of land, it doesn't make a difference. As the Gemara will later on teach, it's even if he has a karka culture with a small piece of land, because as the Gemara tells us in Lamed Beis, that even if he has just what's Molei Machat, like a worth of the size of a needle, you still could collect the size of an axe, meaning you could collect even a larger amount of debt, as the Gemara brings over there from the Ma'aseh of the Katina Dabai, because you could collect and collect and collect and collect, meaning you could collect from that piece of land, then they take it back, then you collect and you collect. So therefore, as long as the bar has some land, then that's included in the institution of now his debt could be collected even after the Shemitah year based on Prisbal. Now, says the Mishnah over there, Im Ein Loi. Now, but what happens if the borrower doesn't have any land? So, Mizakehu, the lender, he bequeaths from his own land, Betech Sadehu from his land, Kolshu, even a small amount, and he gives that to the lender. But now the borrower has land, now the Prisbal is going to work, and he could collect from him even after the Shemitah year. Now, but Kama Kosher, how much is even a small amount of land? So Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav, says, Afila Kelech Shel Kruv, even the size of a stalk of a cabbage, that's enough of a land to be considered that the leiva, the borrower, has land, and thus included in the regular Takanas Chachamim of Prisbal, that when you have someone owing someone money, again, which the regular case is that borrower has some land, because real estate guy wouldn't lend him, and write up a document on it, then Prisbal will work. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda, he says, that actually, afila hishilu mokum latanar, even if he didn't bequeath him, it wasn't mezakat him, didn't give him a piece of land, even if he just lent him space where to put his oven, or uli kirayim, to put his stove, which these are movable things, kaisun lo prusbal, even for that, where just that he has the rights to the land, not even the land itself, just to put stuff on the land, is enough to say that he has something in land, that now you can write a prisbal based on the loiva having some land. Now, the Gemara asks on this halach of Rabbi Yehuda. Ini? Asks the Gemara, is that really so? But v'atani hill, but hill, as Rashi points out, this is the Amoyer hill, not the Tana hill. But hill said, in kaisvim prisbal, one is not allowed to write a prisbal, ella al otzut nokul bovat, only if it's at least like what's called a perforated pot, which is considered at least attached, even though it doesn't necessarily have to be touching the ground, because it's getting its nourishment from the ground, because it's the potted plant has a hole on the bottom, so it's going to draw the nourishment. Now, for sure, if it's on the land itself, if it's his land, of course, then you could write a prisbal on that. But it sounds like, as the Gemara, the Nokov in Sha'in, the Nokov Loi, it's only if it's a perforated plant. But if it wasn't, if it had no hole on the bottom, then, even though he has the plant on the land, you wouldn't be able to write a prisbal on that. On that, as the Gemara, and Rabbi Yehuda Amai, why is that? But there is the place of the pot of the land that it's on, either if it's his land, or even if land was lent to him to put his pot on that, since he has a pot on the land, even though there's no hole in it, still, that should be the same as Rabbi Yehuda's case of lending him the space for the Tana and the Kiraim. So why wouldn't that be enough to write a prosbul? So I think mine says, Loi Tzrich, the case that the Hill was talking about was the Manach Asiche. It was talking about where the plant, and that's why he said it has to be talking about it was perforated, was that it wasn't on the ground. It was on pegs. Now, and the land was not his own land. Now, therefore, if there's a hole in the pot, so then that's considered like it's attached to the ground because it's getting its nourishment. Then it's like he has land because of the soil that's in that pot, and that's why he can write a prism on that. But if there's no hole, then there's no land because he neither has the soil inside the pot is not considered land because it's not there's no hole in the bottom, and neither does he have the space where the pot is on because it's not even on the ground, it's on pegs, and therefore since he only has the pot, that's why that would be a case of not even being like a Rudis case of lending him the space of where it is on the land, because it's not even on the land itself, it's on pegs. Now, Ravashi, makni le gidmo de dikli. What he did was, to his borrowers, he acquired for them the tree stump of a date palm tree, and that trunk, the stump, was attached to the ground, the cost of that prosbul. And again, that was enough for him to write a prosbul where you have something in land, you have this trunk, and therefore I could write a prosbul. Now, Rabbanan de Bei Ravashi, the rabbis of the yeshiva Ravashi, what they did was they actually didn't even write a document. Masri milayu lahadodi. They gave over their words to their colleagues without even writing a prosbul, and they told to their chaveim, they said, look, you're a bezdin, you're a three tamid chacham, my debts are given over to you that I could collect whenever I want to because I'm not collecting. You're right, me as a creditor, I can't collect after Shemitah. But you're a bezdin, you're the courts, and you can go ahead and collect at a later point in time. And that's how they all did it with everyone else that was there in the yeshiva. They just gave it to the other ones and they made them as if they're the bezdin that qualified for the same halachic concept as a prosbul. Similarly, Rabbi Yonis in Masr Milil Reb Chiya Bar Abba, he gave over his words to Reb Chiya Bar Abba, designating him just verbally that he's the bezdin for all his debts. And Amalei said to him, Tzrich Namidi Achin, do I need anything else? Is that okay? Amalei, Lo Tzrich, is there anything else? That's enough. As long as you gave it over to me, your debts, even though we didn't write up this contract called a prosbul, it's enough because orally you made me into the courts and now I can collect as a bezdin of Hefker, bezdin, Hefker, and you'll be able to get your debts even after the Shemitah year. Tarabon, Linda Braisa. Continue on this halacha of that there's a necessity of the borrower having land to be able to write a prosbul. So the Braisa says, in lo karka, let's say the borrower does not have land, but v'lo ariv yesh lo karka, his guarantor of his debt, has land. Well, kaisim lo prosbul. So then again, you could write a prosbul because the whole reason why we said there's a necessity of land is because the lender's not going to lend money if he doesn't see that there's a certain piece of land that's called yesh la'achrayis that he can be able to get his debt paid to him if he doesn't have that, but if the guarantor has, fine. There's somewhere where I know, guaranteed, I'll be able to get land from. Now, let's say loy ula orav ein land karka. Let's say the borrower and the guarantor don't have land, but ula chayiv loy, but someone else who owes money to his borrower, a certain amount of money, yesh loy karka, he has land. So on that, says the Braisa, kaisim love prosbul. So then even in that type of case, you could write a prosbul. Mid Reb Nosson, based on the principle of Reb Nosson, which is, if let's say Levi has land that he owes to Shimon, so then that land becomes indebted to the principle of Reuven who lent Shimon money. Titania, like, learn the Braiser. Reb Nosson, I mean, he says, Minayin l'noisha b'chaveri money. How do we know that there's such a halacha that if let's say someone is claiming money by his friend, b'chaveri b'chaveri, and that person that he's a creditor for, and that guy's a debtor to him, he's a creditor to someone else. So minayin shemitzin mizeh menoisin lezeh, which is commonly known as shibud de Reb Nosson. How do we know that actually, if let's say Reuven lent Shimon money and Shimon lent Levi money, that now Reuven could just go and collect from Levi, tamalei, that's what the pasuk teaches in Bamidbar. Says v'nosin la'asher ashamlei, that he gives it to the one that he's guilty to. Although that the concept there in Bamidbar Perakei Pasuk Zayin is talking about someone stealing and paying back what he stole. But the point is, it says he doesn't give it back to the one that he stole from. It says that the one that he's guilty to. Who is that? That is, as Reb Nosson teaches, which is, let's say the guy that he stole from owes someone else money. He wouldn't pay it back to the guy he stole from. He'd pay it back to the guy who that guy owes anyway, which is known as Shibud de Reb Nosson. So therefore, that's what the Braisa is basing the halacha similarly. If let's say the one who owes the borrower money has land, so then based on Shibud Reb Nosson, there is land you'd be able to collect from straight from that person. So again, that's enough of there being land for that loan, and thus a principal could be written for that type of a loan. Now, continuing with the halachas of Hashmatas Kesafim, again, which is why a principal is written, which is that when the seventh year of the Shemitah year comes along, it cancels old debts. So it's now in Hasam, again, we learned over there in the Mishnah Mesechta Shvius. The Mishnah says, Hashvius Mishametes Es Amilva. Again, that's the basic halacha, that the seventh year of the Shemitah year cancels all loans. But the Mishnah qualifies and says, Bein Mishtar, Bein Shalei Mishtar. This is whether the loan was originally written up in the document, or even if it wasn't written up in the document. Now, there's a machlekes, how to define what those two terms are, and thus there's going to be a halachic nafkamina, that there's going to be a difference. Rav Shmuel and Amit Havaya, they both say, and they define, what does the Mishnah mean when it says, Bein Bishtar, Bein Shalei Bishtar? So they say, when it says, even if it was written Bishtar in the document, that means, Ashtar Sheyesh Becharayis Nechasim, that means to say, even a document that there's a liability of the person's properties, which is what's called Shibud Karkayis, that the borrower, now his land became indebted to the lender, or Shalei Bishtar, or even if the loan was, not even, but even, the, or if the loan was not in, written up in a document, meaning She'im Be'echrayis Nechasim, meaning it was also written up in a document, but without liability of his properties, says, look, we'll write it up, I owe you money, you could use the document as proof, but my properties are not indebted to you now once of, I have this loan, where there also, the halacha is going to be of Ashmata, of that it's going to cancel the debt. Now, Kol Shekein Milvah Peh, now, for sure, if it was an oral loan, for sure, the halacha of Shemitah is going to cancel that type of a loan. So, essentially, according to Rabbi Shmuel, all loans are canceled. Even the strongest type of a loan, which is written up in a document, and is liability of a state, and for sure, Shalei Bishtar, where it's just what they're calling, it was with a document, but not in the full-fledged document, meaning of a Chayes Nechasim. And for sure, if it's the weakest type of a loan, which is not even written up, just an oral loan, for sure, Shemitah is going to cancel that. Now, but Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shimon Belakish, Damar Tavar, they argue, they say when it says Bishtar, when it's written up in a document, it means Ashtar She'im Be'echrayis Nechasim. It means if the loan was written up in a document, but without liability of the borrower's properties to that debt. And Shalei Bishtar, without a document, meant literally Milva Peh, without a document, meaning an oral loan. And you see that each one has strength in one or the other, meaning the one that says, that Shalei Bishtar, like we're saying over here, means Milva Peh, because that's literal, means without a document, meaning an oral loan. Versus the other interpretation has it stronger when they say even Bishtar, meaning what's a regular star, that usually has a Chayes Nechasim. So each one has strength in one of the two halachas of either Shtar or Shalei Bishtar. Now, but according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlokesh, Aval Shtar Sheyesh by Chayes Nechasim, but if it's a document that has a liability of a person's property, that ain't a Meshamet. That actually the halach of Shemitah will not cancel that loan. Now the reason for this is because it's like it was already collected by the lender. In other words, it's like the land is in the chazaka, in the domain already of the lender, and as if they collected, and therefore there's no loan, because a chayes nechasim means to say that you owe me money. In case you default on that loan, I'm not concerned. From the moment that I lent you that money, and you had all these properties, they're indebted to me. They're really my land. Now, you could pay me back with money, and then they won't have it. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokesh hold that in such a case, there's no canceling of loans, because I don't have to collect from you. I already have it. That's what they hold. Now, the Gemara says, Tanika Pasid, Rabbi Yochanan and Shimon ben Lakish. We have a brace that supports this last interpretation of that Bishtar is only a shtar, She'im b'chayes nechasim. But if it's written up with a chayes nechasim, then Shemitah doesn't cancel that loan. As the Brisa says, Shtar Chayiv Mishamet, which a regular document of the loan, Shemitah will cancel it. But says the Brisa, V'im yesh b'echrayis nachasim ein mishamet. But if there's a liability of the person's property, then the Shemitah year doesn't cancel it, like Rabbi Yechaner and Rabbi Shimon Belakish. So Titania Idach, we learn similarly in another Brisa that says, Sayim Loi, let's say the Loiva, the borrower, designates the parameters to the lender of Soda Achas, of one field, Bahalva Asai, for the loan. In other words, he designates that, look, you're lending me this amount of money, this field will be indebted to you in case I don't pay you back. This is your field. This is worth the amount of money that you're lending me. Says the Braisa, Einim Mishamet. So that's now Shemitah is not going to cancel that loan. And the reason being is because, like we said, he's Messiah. In other words, he shows him the signs and the boundaries exactly of what's payable to him, which essentially, which is like a Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlokesh, as if he already has it already. So there's no more canceling of a debt. It's not a debt. He already has it beforehand. Now, says the Braisa, not only that, meaning not only if he designated specifically the parameters and the boundaries of which field he's giving him, but even if the borrower only writes, all my property are responsible and a guarantee for you, where that's not so much as if it was collected already, as if when he specifies exactly which field it is that he's going to get, even so, says the Braisa, it's not going to cancel again, seemingly like Rabbi Yochanan Mishlakish, because it's like it's already collected because of Achrayas Nechasa. Now, actually, the Gemara illustrates this halacha with the following incident where Krivid Rabasi, the relative of Rabasi, was a lender. Havalei Ahushtar, and now he had a certain document for a certain loan that he had lent money. To Havik Sibbe Achrayas Nechasa, that was written that the borrower had guaranteed his property, his estate, in case he defaults on the loan. Now, Asla Kamed Rabasi, so this relative of Rabasi came in front of his relative Rabasi. Amalei said to him, Mishamet Oyen Mishamet, the Shemitah year is coming. Is that going to cancel the loan, even though I have a Chayas Nechasim, or not? So Amalei, in a Mishamet, he says, it's not going to cancel, because it has a Chayas Nechasim. Now, Shavkei Va'asla Kamed Rabbi Yechanan. Now, this relative left his relative, and he went, and he came in front of Rabbi Yechanan. Amalei, Rabbi Yechanan said to him, Mishamet, it actually will cancel the loan, even though it has a Chayas Nechasim. So, Rabasi heard about this, and he came in front of Rabbi Yechanan. Amalei, so he asked him the same question to verify what he heard from his relative. Mishamet or ain't Mishamet? Will it cancel this Shtar Sheesh Berachayas Nechasim or not? Amalei Mishamet, Rabbi Yechanan says, it will cancel it. On that, Rabasi asked him, what do you mean, as we just discussed previously in the Gemara, V'hamahu da'amar ain't Mishamet? You're on record with Rish Lakish that said that if there's Berachayas Nechasim, it will not cancel it. Why are you telling my relative that it's going to be canceled? Amalei, Rabbi Yechanan said to him, wait a second. Do you think because we assume or it appears in our eyes and we would imagine that this would be the halacha, like I did propose in the Beis Medrash with Rish Lakish, that it should not cancel, but I never heard this from my teachers, Nasa Maisa? What do you think? So we can act on, I say a svara in the Beis Medrash, so then we could go ahead and do this, meaning we could act on it and to take money out of the borrower because we would assume that to be? I never heard this from my teachers that if it has a Chayas Nechasim, then it's not going to cancel. And therefore, up until we know otherwise, I can't let your relative go ahead and collect after the Shemitah year from this borrower, even though it's a shtar that has a Chayas Nechasim. Now, but Amalei, but Rabasi asked him back again. He says, wait a second, but Vatani Kavase Demar, as the Gemara brought previously, there's a Braisa that supports the master. It says, just like you, that if there's a Chayas Nechasim, it won't cancel it. So why aren't you confident on the Braisa to say that it's not going to cancel it? So Amalei, on that Rabbi Yechanan says, no, Dilmahi Beishamahi. Maybe that Bryce is going like Beishamahi, who we don't paskin like, where his opinions are brought in Masech the Saita Daf Chofeim and Aleph, which says that if, let's say, the husband of a suspected Saita dies before she gets a chance to drink the May Saita, so now they can't drink anymore. So Beishamahi says that the woman takes her ksuba even though she doesn't drink. Now, what's the reason for that? How could she take her ksuba? Maybe she was really mezana, we just didn't get a chance to verify, and therefore then she would lose her ksuba. So the reason is because Beishameh holds, the army, they say, shtar ho'oymed ligvois, a document that's standing to be collected. In other words, up until now, we knew that this is a valid ksuba, valid document. And hence, the karka, the land of the debtor, was meshubit to that loan. Says Beishameh, it's kegavudam, it's like it's collected already. Because up until now, until we prove that it's not a good and valid document, it's like it is. And therefore, all the person's estate was already like, essentially like the lender's, or in this case, the woman collecting her ksuba. And therefore, says Rabbi Yechanan, we could say the same thing over here in this regard, that yes, although this Braisa says that if there's a Chayas Nechasim, it won't be Meshamet, but who said it's because of my Svara? Maybe it's because it's going like Meshamet, who they take this even further. They say anytime there's a Chayas Nechasim, and it's a shtar, I mean, ligvois, it's kegavu dami, and therefore I can't say that necessarily that even like the opinion of Beis Hillel, who disagrees with that necessarily, the halachic concept of shtar, I mean, ligvois, kegavu dami, would hold that you could write a prosbul on even on a shtar that has a chayas nechasim. And therefore he said that I have to say, until I know otherwise, that it will be mishamet, and not to be able to act in it, and to be able to collect from a borrower, even after the Shemitah year. Now another halacha, tznan hasim, we learned over there in Masechta Shviyas, that says, Hamalva es chaveri mois ala mashkin. If someone lends money to his friend on collateral, meaning he takes something from the borrower to guarantee that loan, or va'amaisish de'resav lebeznam, but someone gives over his documents of the loan that he lent someone else to the courts, se'ein meshamtin. So now Shemitah will not cancel those loans. Now the Gemara wonders, b'ishloim emaisish de'resav lebeznam, we can understand the halacha of when he gives over his documents to the courts, de'tavsti lehu be'nena, because now that means to say that the courts are holding on to that debt. And that is, as we explained, is the whole mechanics of principle itself, which is Bezdin could now take out money from the borrower even after Shemitah because of what's known as Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. And regards to the lender, we don't say it's considered loyigus that you can't collect after Shemitah because he's not collecting it. It's the courts. But Elamalva, Elamashkin, my time, what's the understanding of the principle? Why, if he lends money with collateral, why then wouldn't the Shemitah be Meshamed that loan? So Amar Rava says, Mishum the toughest. Like, the reason being is because he's already holding on to money of the borrower. In other words, he's not being negus. I mean, he's not claiming anything. I have already what you owe me. You want to pay me money instead of that car that I took from you or whatever it is I have collateral? Fine. I'll make that switch with you. But I'm not collecting from you. I already have money. I already have the collateral. And that's why it's not considered claiming money to violate legis after the Shemitah year. And that's why it's not going to be essentially canceled even after Shemitah. Now, this halacha of Rava, Amalei Abaya asked, wait a second, you're explaining the reason is because he's toughest, like, because he's holding on to it. So, Elameata asked Abaya, if that's the case, Helvahu v'dar b'chatzeri, then I'll ask you, let's say someone lends someone money, and the lender lives in the courtyard of the borrower. The toughest, like, where he's holding on, meaning I'm in your house, you can say there also it's not going to cancel the loan because he's typhus, he's holding on to something of the borrower. Whereas Taisus brings that it's obvious from Perukezu Neshachim Bamitsi Samachzari Namabez that such a case it would be Mishamit. So why is that any different from the way you're describing for the case of the Mashkin? So Amalei, so Rabbi says, no, Shani Mashkin. Collateral is different. In other words, something that's movable, where then it's being taken as collateral versus, let's say, just squatting in someone's house. The Kani Lei. Because actually the lender acquires it. He like owns it. And actually halachically, if the lender loses it, he's liable for the responsibility of it. And therefore it's like it's already collected, meaning it's like already his. Hence that applies for the Shemitah year too. And if it's already his, so he's not collecting. It's already like he owns it. And that's why, as we explained before, since he already has it, he's not collecting. You want to now pay me back with money, then fine, I'll make that change with you. And we know this from Yitzchak. Dam Yitzchak, he says, "Minayin lebal chayiv shekoyin amashkin." How do we know that actually a creditor, not only does he hold on to the collateral, he actually owns the collateral. So he owns it, so the debt is already paid up. Again, but if you want to give money, fine. Shenema, like it says a pasuk in Devarim. How do we know this? The pasuk there says in Devarim Chavdal pasuk Yagimel talks about collateral. Hashiv tashiv le'asav. Yeah, you should give back to the person, the poor person, the collateral that he needs, whether if it's a blanket that he sleeps at nighttime or something that he used during the daytime. And the pasuk says, L'chati yitzdaka. And therefore, for you, it'll be considered like charity from the fact that you're giving back the collateral to the person every day when he needs it. Now, says Rabbi Yitzchak, Im eina kaina, if the lender doesn't own the collateral, well, tzedaka minayin. How is that considered charity? It's not really yours. It's not, you can't give charity with something that's not yours. From here says Yitzchak that you see that actually the lender actually acquires the collateral. Therefore, that's what Rabbi says, since he acquires the collateral, so therefore it's not, I'm not collecting after Shemitah, I already have the loan already paid up, and that's why it's not a violation of Lo-Yigis. Continuing on another halacha, Tznan Hasim, again, we learn over there in the Mishnah Masechta Shviyas, as we continue on to Amud Beis, the Mishnah says, Hamachzer Chayv L'Chaver B'Shviyas. If someone pays back a debt, a loan, to his friend in Shviyas, in other words, as Rashi explains, meaning at a time when Shemitah laws are in force, in other words, and it's already past the Shemitah year, and then still the borrower wants to pay back the loan, meaning without a principal, but as Rashi explains, it can't be talking about that he's paying it back during the Shemitah year, because if so, then we wouldn't need the halacha that the Mishnah is going to say over here, that the lender should say, oh, it's okay, mishamarani, it's already canceled for me. Because actually the halacha is that Shemitah cancels loans only at the end of Shemitah. So up until the end of the Shemitah year, it's like considered before Shemitah year. So that wouldn't require the process and the procedure that the Mishnah is talking about over here. Rather, Rashi explains when it says, b'shviyas, it means say, at a time when the laws of Shemitah apply, meaning that it's after the Shemitah year. And still the borrower wants to pay back the loan, Sitzarach. So that's what the Mishnah is saying, that the lender has to shayemala, that he has to say to the borrower, Mishamarani, don't worry, it's okay, I canceled the loan. Now, but the imam aloy alpha pigam, but if the borrower says, oh, even so, I still want to pay back, you kabbal him, and then he could receive that loan that he owed him, but which was canceled, which meet, and then he could still take it back. Now, Shanema, like it says in the Pasuk, how do we know that we have to go through this dialogue? It says, v'zeh d'vah ha-shmita, that this is the word, literally, that's what it means, of the shmita, meaning to say there have to be words of shmita. Meaning, since halachically it's canceled, the lender has to say, oh, it's okay, I'm a shaman, it's canceled, it's okay, don't worry, you don't have to. But then he says, then the borrower says, oh, it's okay, no, I borrowed money from you, I want to pay back, then he can take it back. Now, Amar Rabba, more of a Rabba says, v'talilei, if let's say the borrower says, you know what, Shemitah, it's true, halachically I'm okay, fine, I won't pay you back, then the lender could, so to speak, hang the borrower on a piece of wood, if he has the might to do that, ad amar hachi, until he tells him, afal pikin, until he tells him, oh, you know what, even so, even though you're mishamed, you can't, I want to pay you back. In other words, he could make sure that the borrower ends up paying it back. He could put him in a compromising situation. But again, you have to first say, I'm a shamanit, and then he has to say, oh, okay, even so. Now, Eser Abaya asks on this halacha from Rabbah from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Kishu Naisen Lai, when the borrower, after Shemitah, wants to pay back the loan and gives him the money, Al Yemer Lai Bechevi Ani Naisen Lai. He's not allowed to say that I'm giving it back to you for the debt that I owe you. Now, which sounds like, and this is Abaya's question, for sure, the lender would not be allowed to, what in the words of Rabbah, bitalle, to force him to hang him, to have to pay him back. Eliyamale, rather, he tells him, look, sheli hang, it's my money. I'm gifting you. I'm giving you a gift. I like you. You lent me money. I'm giving you a gift. But he can't tell him, I'm paying you back for the loan. So ask Abaya, how could you say that? He could force him. He can make him until he says, oh, okay, mercy, I'm going to give it back, when you see clearly that he can't be forced to give it back. So Amalei, Rabbi says, no. Talilei, nami, adu amahachi. He could force him until he says that I'm giving to you as a gift, which is not going to be a violation of lo yigais, because he's not coming and claiming in court, saying this guy owes me money and claiming the money. It's not coming because of a debt. He's saying he's forcing his arm and saying, say you want to give me a gift. That, he can give him a gift, and that's within his rights to enforce that the person should have to give him back what he owes him money. Whereas the Rosh Hashanah explained, where although the halacha is that Shemitah obviously cancels the loans, so how could he force him? It's because since he was coming to return, he was coming to pay it up, even though he didn't have to. Just because of the halacha of Zed Dvar Shemitah, the lender has to tell him, it's okay, I'm a shamanit, but since he really wanted to pay him back, then they could force him to have to give back. Even though he said, oh, really? You're canceling it? He can put him in a situation where he has to say, oh, even so, I'm going to pay back, because that was the original intent. Therefore, he can enforce it. Now, as the Gemara illustrates this halacha, that Abba Bamarta, to who Abba Bamanyumi, he was also the one that was called Abba Bamanyumi, have a masik be Rabba Zuzi. Rabba was collecting, another Rabba had lent him money, and he was collecting from this Abba Bamarta to pay him up. Now, Aitinu Nahalei B'Shvias. Now, after Shemitah, Abba Mamarta came to pay him back debt. So Amalei, Rabba, as the halacha required, said, "Mishamarani." He said that, "Look, I canceled the loan." So Shaklinov also, Abba Mamarta says, "Great, you know, I'm tied for money." He went and took the money and he left. He says, "Look, I was coming to pay you up. You're saying you canceled." He left. Now Asa Abaya Ashkechei Dahava Atzav. Now Abaya came and he encountered Rabba, who was down. He was depressed. He was sad. So Amalei said to him, why is the master so sad? So Amalei, Hachev Amai, said, told him what happened. He says, the guy owes me tons of money. I lent him money, and I was trying to chase him to pay me back. Finally, after Shemitah comes, and I do what the halacha requires, and I say that, oh, Mishabanani. And then he just went and walked away. And really, he should say, oh, Afal Pike, and then give it to me. So Azul, so Abaya went Ligabe. He went to Abba Bamarta. And Amalei, he got him involved in the conversation. He said to him, Amtes Lezuzi Lamar, did you go ahead and pay back the money you owed to Rabba? Amalei in, he says, yeah, I came to bring money to him. Amalei Omai Amlachim, what did he tell you? Amalei Mishamarani, he says, I canceled the loan. Amalei, so he said to him, Vamar Tlei, and did you then tell him, Afa Pikein, that even so I want to pay you back? Amalei Lo, he says, no. He's like, I canceled it. He's rolling in money. Fine, I went and walked away. Amalei, so he said to Abba Bamarta, V'i amr le'af apikin, I just want you to know, had you said even so, he would have taken the money from you. So hashdemiyas amtin nale. So therefore, what you should do right now is go ahead and bring him the money now. Ve'ema le'af apikin, and tell him this, that even so, even though you're canceling, I want to pay you back the money you lent me. Azal amtinu nahale. So he went and he brought him the money. Ve'ema le'af apikin, he said even so, and shaklin mene, and Rabba took the money from him. So Amas Rabba said, Lehave be daita by tzuva merabana mikar. This Talmudic scholar didn't have the intellect beforehand to realize that he has to say this. Alpha Pekin, again, that illustrates the halacha that we said before, where if someone doesn't have to pay back a loan after Shemitah, but if he's coming to, and then the lender tells him, oh, Meshamarani, then he can put him in the situation, and that's what he should be doing, and he should say, oh, Alpha Pekin, don't worry, I'm going to pay back, because that was my original intention, I'm going to pay back the loan, even though you tell me that you're Meshamarani. Now, continue on these halachas. I'm Rav Yehuda Rav Nachman. Says, Neman Adam Loima Pruzbul Hoye Biyadi Va'ave Mimena. A person is believed, where even though he doesn't have any proof, to say, I had a Pruzbul and I lost it. My time, what's the reason? What do you mean? It's already post Shemitah. He's coming to remove money from a borrower by saying and claiming that he has a Pruzbul. You have to prove it. And I think Mar says, no, because what's the reason? Kivin did Takin Rabban a Pruzbul, since the rabbis instituted Pruzbul. Hence, it would be permitted, there's a permitted way to collect after Shemitah. So Le'ishavik HaTeira, a lender, would not forsake a permitted easy way, meaning the way of a Pruzbul, and to V'achal Yisura, and to eat something that's forbidden. In other words, he wouldn't not write up a Pruzbul if he has the opportunity, and go ahead and not write one up, and then have to try to collect in a forbidden way, which is collecting after Shemitah year. So if there's an easy, permitted way, which is just write up a Pruzbul, a person is believed to say that he did that, and we believe him because we would assume that a person would do a permitted, easy way to be able to collect his money after Shemitah. Now, moreover, actually, the Gemara says, Ki asla kamei derav, when lenders would come in front of Rav, Amalei, he would tell them, Midi Pruzbul hoylach v'avad? Did you have a Pruzbul by any chance? Meaning, if they would come to him after Shemitah and say, oh, I lent this guy so much money, it's after Shemitah, and he would tell them, do you by any chance have a Pruzbul, but you just lost it? As the Gemara explains, the reason why he would do this is kegoin zeh, like this would be a situation of what the Pasuk initially says, psach picha la'alam hu. It's that you should open up the mouth of the mute person. In other words, Bezdin tries to help out a person that could have a good claim, and they tell him, well, you know what, if you had a Pruzbul but you just lost it, I just want you to know, you would be believed if you made such a claim, and then you would be able to collect your money even after Shemitah has passed. Now, the Gemara actually asks on this, Nan, we learned in the Mishnah in Ksubis and Perka Kesev, where there the Mishnah is talking about a situation where the husband is believed to say that he already paid up his wife's Ksuba. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, V'chim bal chayv, so to a creditor, Shemaitzi shtar chayv, who he produces a loan document that is owed to him alone, the Einimai Pruzbul, but he doesn't have a Pruzbul, says the Mishnah, Hare Elu lo yifro. So then the borrower doesn't have to pay it back up. So the question is, obviously you see that the lender is not believed to say that I had a Pruzbul and I lost it, because obviously, and this is the Gemara's question, it must be talking about such a situation where the lender is claiming that he had a Pruzbul and he lost it, because if not, why would we have to say that he doesn't have to pay back? Of course, we know that Shemitah is Meshamet. We know the seventh year cancels. Must be told about, even though he's claiming that he had a Pruzbul. So that refutes the halacha that we just said, that if he makes a claim that he is believed. The Gemara answers, Tanoihi. It's a machalik is Tanoim. It's not a difficulty on Rav. Because the Tanya, like, learn the Braisa. Hamoitzi shtar chayv. If someone produces a loan document, Tsarach shehei my Pruzbul. The Tanakama says, he has to have a Pruzbul. And if you don't, you're not believed. The sages say, you don't need. What does that mean, you don't need? Of course, you need a Pruzbul. It means to say he's believed to say that I had and I lost it, and it was going according to the Chum that we said before, that a person is believed to say that it has a Pruzbul and that I lost it. Again, like the Svara that we said, this is because a person wouldn't leave a permitted, easy way to collect that money after Shemitah and do it in a prohibited, forbidden way by collecting after the Shemitah. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on this, what's called Tikkun Olam. The rectification, the benefit of the world. There were certain rabbinic ordinances and takanas were instituted for certain situations that required that. So one of them is an eved, a non-Jewish slave owned by a Jew, shenishba upadauhu, who was taken in captivity. people came and took his slave as captive. Then the slave was redeemed by other Jews. So the Mishnah says it depends what they did, what was their intention when they redeemed him to qualify what's his status right now. That is, im lushum evet, if when they redeemed this slave, they redeemed him for the purposes of slavery, so nishtabit, he could be put to work and he could be in servitude, which Gemara will explain exactly who he's going to be serving. Now, im lushum ben charin, if they had redeemed him for the purpose of being a free man, then lo yishtabit, then he can't be placed in servitude. That's the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he says, ben kach yishtabit. Either way, whether the ones who redeemed him to be a slave or even to be a free man, he could be placed back in servitude. Now the Gemara wonders, b'mayiskinan, what are we talking about in this case of the slave that was taken in captivity and now was redeemed? As the Gemara explains, ilem lifnayish, if it's talking about before the original owner who had his slave taken from him in captivity, it was before he had given up hope, and that was before that they had redeemed him from those idol worshippers, from those people that had taken him in captivity. So then the question is, Lashum ben Charin, when the Tanna Kamma said that if he was redeemed for the purpose of being a free person, question is, Amai lo yishtabit? Why would he not be able to be in servitude? What do you mean? If a person has a piece of property, has a slave, has a car, he owns it. Even if someone steals it, he still owns it. Now, when does he lose the rights? Is when it's what's called halacha biyush, which is he gives up hope. That's halacha regarding a person's object, then that loses his ownership. Now, if it's before he gave up hope, so then even if someone redeems that slave for the purpose of being a free person, good, you got him out of captivity, but you have no rights of him. He's still considered the first owner's slave. I don't care if you did it for the purpose of making him a free man. He should still be my slave and still work. So the Gemara says, okay, so what would you say? That's talking about that the owner had already given up hope before the slave was redeemed by the Ibdei Kechava. Well, then the question is, then how do we understand the other halacha? If they redeemed him l'shum evid for the purposes of being a slave, why should it be enslaved in servitude? Because the assumption of the Gemara is, who is he going to be enslaved by? It's going to be by his original first master. And the question is, why? He was already miyayish. He has nothing to do with the slave anymore. It's like it's not even his slave. So if it's la'ach yish, why is he in Evan? And if it's before yish, why would he go l'shem ben chayrin? So Abaya says, la'ilam l'fnei yish. The Mishnah is talking about that the owner, the original owner, never gave up hope yet. Now, u'l'shem Evan, when he was taken in the purposes of being a slave, which meaning when they had redeemed him, they knew that this was, let's say, this guy's slave, and they were redeeming him to return him to his original master, or even if they were redeeming him to be their own slaves, these other Jews, the halacha is like the Mishnah said, yishtabed l'rabbi l'rishon. So he goes and he goes back into servitude to his first original master. The reason being is because the second person, this other Jew that's redeeming him, doesn't acquire him, because the halacha is that the original owner was never meyayish, so it's still owned by him, and therefore anyone that would take it, even if he's redeeming and paying those non-Jewish captors, it's like stealing it from the original owner. So okay, you helped out the original owner, you redeemed his slave, maybe he should pay you back, but the point is, he's going to go back and be an eved by the first master. Now, Lashum ben Chayrin, when he redeems him to be a free person, that's what the Tanna Kamma is saying, lo yishtabed lo l'rabbi l'rishon v'lo l'rabbi l'sheni. He's not going to be enslaved not by his first master, and neither by his second master. Now, l'rabbi l'sheni loy, the second master not, the Holoshim ben Chayim parke, because when he redeemed him for the purpose of being a free man. You can't then enslave somebody that's already considered a full-fledged Jew, that he was already a free man. L'rabbi rishon namiloy, now he's neither, even though it's l'fnei yish, and this is the chiddush what comes out according to this interpretation of Abaya, it doesn't go back and be an eved of the first master either, because dilma mimni b'loy parki. And this is what Abai is essentially answering for this part. Even though it's before the owner was meyayish, he can't go back and be a slave for the first master. Because then maybe, if people know that if I'm redeeming a person who was acting like a Jew all these years, let's say, because he has halacha like women for all the mitzvahs in the Torah, now if I'm redeeming him and he's going back to be a slave, I'm not going to redeem him. I'm redeeming him so that he can go ahead and be a free man. To go from one captor to another, so to speak, captor to his first master, that people wouldn't do that. And therefore, to avoid that problem of people redeeming these enslaved slaves, meaning that by these captors, they said that if someone redeems him even before the first one was Meyayish, he doesn't go back to be a slave. Again, if he was redeemed for the purposes of being a Ben Chayrin. Now, on that, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, he argued in that Mishnah, he says, no, Ben Kech or Ben Kech Yishtabed. Either case, the slave is going to be go back and be enslaved. Because Ksava, he held, Kashem Shem Mitzvah Liftis is B'nei Charin, just like it's a mitzvah to redeem free people, Kach Mitzvah Liftis is Avadim, so too there's a mitzvah to redeem slaves. They're also a somewhat of a Jew. And therefore, essentially what he's saying is that we don't have to be concerned that people are going to refrain from redeeming slaves, because even though he goes back to his original status as a slave, it's still considered a mitzvah, just like if you were making him into a free man, which would be a Yisrael that is a mitzvah to redeem, you're redeeming an Eved is also a mitzvah to go back to his original status as an Eved. That's a mitzvah, and people are not going to refrain. They're okay by redeeming a slave from captors to go back to his original master. That's machlekes according to Abaya, that the Mishnah is talking about lifnei yish. Rava Amar lo'ilam la'achi yish. He gives a different interpretation, different spin on the Mishnah. He says, talking about that actually this, the original master was already miyayish before that slave was redeemed by those other Jews. Now, so he explains the Mishnah as follows. Ulashum Eved, when those people were redeeming the slave for the purposes of slavery, when the Mishnah said yishtabed, that he's going to be enslaved in servitude, it's not like we had assumed, according to interpretation also of Abaya, that to the first master, rather, l'rabbi sheni, he's enslaved now by the second master, because not the first one, the first one was redeeming miyayish, nothing to do with him anymore. When he's redeeming the slave for the purposes of slavery, meaning for himself, which the Gemara later on is going to ask from, as we'll see at the end of the daf going on to the next daf, which is who's he acquiring the rights of the slave from? The original master doesn't own them anymore. He's ready miyayish. So who is he acquiring from? The slaves, the captors? They have no ownership in that slave who they took in captivity. Who is this next Jew buying him as an eved from? But that the Gemara is going to explain. But that's how Rav is explaining when it says l'shum eved that he's yishtabed, it's l'rabbi sheni, it's to this new Jew. Now l'shum ben chayrin, when we said that when he's redeeming him to be a free person, lo yishtabed, lo l'rabbi richim, lo l'rabbi sheni, he's not going to be enslaved to neither of those masters. L'rabbi sheni lo, to the second master not, l'shum ben chayrin parke, because he's redeeming him for the purpose of being a free man. So if you redeem him for that, you can't now go back and take him as a slave. And the rabbi Rishon Namilai, and also the first master, neither does he get enslaved by him either. The halacha yishav, because as we explained, according to Rava, he's told him that he was ready miyayish, and therefore he has no ownership of him, because he already gave up hope. Now, and on that, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I mean, he said, ben kach yishtabe. No, either way, he's going to be enslaved by his first master. That's what comes out according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that they're even disputing who is he being meshubet to. He's saying that even if he's redeeming him l'shem ben chayrin, still, he's not going to go free. He's going to go back and be enslaved by his original master. Why? Why did they say, which is the opinion espoused by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that either way, no matter what the situation is, when the Jew is redeeming him, whether for Eved or Ben Chayrin, that he goes back and he's meshubet to his original owner, is, as we said, a tikkun olam type of a thing. That every single slave shouldn't do, you know what? He'll figure out a way how to get out of slavery. How so? He'll go ahead, he'll throw himself to the armies, to the captors, and they'll take him into captivity. And that'll be a very easy way to get himself out of his master, because then someone will redeem him, and then voila, he's done. So to avoid that situation, they said that no, even if you're going to throw yourself under the captors and they're going to take you in captivity and someone's going to redeem you, you're still going to go back to your original master. Because if we didn't have that in place, then every slave will figure out, he'll do this, it'll be easier for him to get out of his slavery where he's a slave forever. He could just find an easy way out till someone redeems him, which cannot be forced on the original master. But here the captors want to redeem their slaves just to get a quick buck. And therefore to avoid that because of tikkun olam, this is the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. In all situations, he goes back to be a slave to his original master. Now, Meisvei, the Gemara asks from the following Braisa on this last interpretation of Rava in our Mishnah. The Braisa says that Amar Lahen Reb Shimon Gamliel, he says to the Chacham that argue with him, he says, wait a minute, Kishem Shem Mitzah Liftes Es B'nei Chayrin, just like it's a mitzah to redeem a free person, meaning an independent Jewish person, Kach Mitzah Liftes Es Avadim, so it is a mitzah to redeem slaves. That was the sentence Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said in defense of his opinion to the Chacham. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Bishlem ala Abaye do'am alafnei yish. We understand, according to Abaye's interpretation of our Mishnah, where he said that it's talking about all the cases are before the owner was miyayish. Now, so therefore, hence, the way he explained the Tanakhama's opinion when, let's say, when the other Jewish people are redeeming him for the purposes of being a free person, that we said the reason why he's going to go free is because if he doesn't go free, then people are going to refrain from redeeming a slave, because we're redeeming him to a free person. If he's going to go back and be enslaved, we're not going to redeem him, and he's going to be stuck in captivity. So to avoid that, we said that even though it's before the owner was Miyash, he's going to go free. So we understand, Haini deka'ama kishem. So therefore we understand what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was capitalizing on that, and he was saying, so wait a second, you know what? We're not concerned. I'm not concerned for what you're saying, that people are not going to redeem the slave captives for the purpose of being free, because you know what? People will not refrain. Because, and that's the word he was telling them. Just like there's a mitzvah to redeem free people, there's a mitzvah to redeem slaves. Yes, they have no qualms about him going back to his original owner. Because why do people redeem captives? What do I gain out of it? A mitzvah. Pidyon Shvuim. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, just like there's a mitzvah to redeem free people, there's a mitzvah to redeem slaves. So people will not refrain. They're okay with redeeming him from one captive and sending him back to his original master. So according to Abaye, that makes sense. But according to Rav, the Gemara asked Amala Achayish, that he qualifies the halacha of the Mishnah. That is talking about after the original owner was Meyayish. And therefore, the reason of the Tanakama, when he says that when there's other people redeem him to be a free person, that the reason why he doesn't go back to the original owner is because, very simply, he doesn't go back, because he was already Meyayish. So then, Hai Kishem, then therefore this, that Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, Kishem, which was this concept of that, so that, you know, to address what essentially was what the Tanakhama was saying, that people should not avoid redeeming slaves, and that's why they said he should go free. And that is what the Gemara is asking, but the reason of Shem Leel has nothing to do with that. It's Mishum de Chizkiyahu, it's because of Chizkiyah. In other words, Reb Shem Leel is not because that people will not refrain. It has nothing to do with refraining. The reason why is because that people shouldn't throw themselves onto soldiers, onto captors. And that is why he said that it's going to go back to the Shibud. But not because addressing this people's concerns, because it has nothing to do with that. Actually, it's all Malach HaYish. So essentially, Shmuel would agree it shouldn't go back to the original owner. The reason why it goes back is because of Chizkiyah. So why is he saying this line of Kishem? So Amalach HaRava, Rava tells you that you're right. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel lo have a yodah my ka'am Rabban. He didn't know what was the viewpoint of the Rabban who argued on him. V'hachah kamalu, and this is what he was telling them. Elif ne yish kamritu, if what you're saying is, because you're talking about that it's that when you're saying that he goes free, when they're redeeming him to be a free person, is you're talking about in the case of before yish, which is exactly how Abaye had explained the Mishnah. That's what he was addressing, which we find those words in the Brayse, Hainu Kishem. That's what he said. No, even before Yish, it should also be going back to the first master, because even if they're redeeming him to free him and not to enslave him, they're okay with him going back to his original master, because just like it's a mitzvah to redeem free people, it's a mitzvah to redeem slaves too. Now, but then he said, which is how Rava explains the Mishnah, Ila Acha Yish Kamitu, and now if you're talking about a case of when it's Acha Yish, then even there, he should go back to his original master, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Kedechizkiyah, like Chizkiyah says, where even the original owner was already Miyayish, still it doesn't make a difference. He already gave up hope. It doesn't make a difference. Still, if someone redeems him, even for the purpose of being in Ben Chayrin, it should go back because of this tikkun ha'olam of not having every slave just find a way to get himself taken as a captive and then redeemed by other people, and then he'll be a free person. He'll get out of his original master. We don't want people to just lose slaves left and right. So therefore, that was what Rava's interpretation was, which as Tosafot explains, that even though Rav Shimon Gamliel himself was unclear about the opinion of the Rabbanan, which is what he was addressing, which is when they're talking about the differences of Lashem Ever to Lashem Ben Chayrin, if it's talking about Lefnei Yish or La'achi Yish, but Rava didn't hold that, didn't think that it made sense to say that they're arguing before Yish, and therefore he qualified the case of our Mishnah as talking about La'achi Yish in dispute of Abayi, who said it's talking about Lefnei Yish.